Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome, everyone, to this evening's live stream of this Wednesday evening Bible study. We praise the Lord once again for a wonderful day that He has blessed us with good weather, good sunshine. Tomorrow, the grounds are going to be wet. It's going to rain all day. Praise God. But I just planted a flower bed and it needs water. So praise the Lord. I look forward to the rain. Amen. Amen. Just planted some habanero peppers and I just can't wait to have the very first one. I think I might eat it whole. No, I'm not. No. I shall not do that. Or else I'm going to need prayer shortly after. But nonetheless, thank you so much for joining us here this evening. Joining me and the crew here that are in charge of operating the sound and the scriptures and the video, and there's even people behind the scenes making sure all of this is happening, making sure that every single one of us is seeing all of this and hearing it and whatnot. So praise God. Praise the Lord. I have a little Bible study here to share with you this evening. And before we get started, let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love You. We worship You. We praise You, Lord. You are worthy of all praise. We honor You, Lord, this evening. And Lord, I thank You for all of those who take the time to listen to Your word and to hear the teachings from Your word. And those, Lord, who have the zeal, Lord, in their hearts to serve You, to get closer to You, Lord, to be closer to You. Thank You, Lord. And I ask, Lord, as we partake in this teaching and in this little Bible study, may we all, Lord, grow stronger and stronger in the faith with You. May we always, Lord, maintain this zeal towards Your word, towards the things of God. And may we never, Lord, steer away. Thank You, Lord, for keeping us. Thank You, Lord, for keeping us safe. Thank You, Lord, for blessing us. We worship You, Father. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I've been wanting to talk about the subject today for a couple of weeks now, and it just didn't work out. I wanted to talk about this prior to what I had been sharing on Wednesday evenings, and the Wednesday evening service took a little bit longer to develop and share. But I think now is the right time for me to talk about the danger that is a hardened heart. The danger of a hard heart is a title to this evening's service. And why did I feel inclined to research this and to develop it and bring it to your attention? Because as of recent, sometimes you see certain things and you don't like to see it. You don't like to see a brother or a sister, you know, do what they do, or have a particular action, or be inclined to do something that is against potentially what you've been sharing, what you've been teaching. Oftentimes, what would result is people leaving a congregation. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to leave a congregation. As of recent, I was very, very disturbed to hear that a pastor that I know made a comment, made a statement, a proclamation, as a matter of fact, in the pulpit, behind the pulpit, on something that is highly I'm not going to say contradictive, but something that I find to be against the Word of God. And it has to do directly with the Holy Spirit. And so as a result, I have people who are close to me who are considering leaving that congregation. And if it was me, and if I was attending such a congregation, I would potentially consider, or at least have a sit down with this pastor, say, "Pastor, yeah, we need to sit down here with a couple glasses of water, and we need to politic over this, okay, and debate over it, you know, because it's important for us to be in unity, in one accord." But now onto the other extreme, sometimes the man of God or the person teaching is presenting something to an audience, and a lot of people might not accept it because they have a hardened heart. And as a result, they get upset, or they're, you know, distraught, or whatever you want to call it, and then either you have gossip, you have strife, you have contention, or people just plain leave. But ultimately, I do believe one thing as a direct consequence, as direct result from a hardened heart. It causes one to reject God's commandments. And ultimately, this is always the common denominator, is the rejection of the commandments of the Lord. And it's sad, it's very sad to see sometimes when people have, for example, strong opinions and strong beliefs about, for example, same-sex marriages. Oftentimes, this is a very, very hot topic, especially in today's day and age, unfortunately. You have people who have strong opinions, who have strong wills, and they have basically personal views and personal opinions about such a matter, to where oftentimes preachers and pastors and teachers try to abstain from certain subjects like this one. Another hot subject, another one that's sometimes too hot to handle for certain folks, is the teaching of money. Okay, cash, dollars. Some pastors don't know how to present things in a way that it won't seem as though it's shining a bad light. And then, on the other hand, you have the novice Christians who don't know how to take it, because they have always heard bad things and negative things about pastors, you know, leaving a congregation and zeroing out the bank account, you know, or they might have a hidden life, for example, or they get caught with some sort of fraud charge. So all these things stay on the back of their minds, and then when they hear the next preacher talk about tithing, about offerings to the house of God, preaching about blessings that are directly related to money. Next week I'm going to be talking about the testing of our faith and how the Lord tests us with dollars. I'm going to talk about that on Sunday morning. When they hear such preachings, sometimes their hearts get hardened. And there are so many topics that we can bring to your attention and talk about, but this is not what this is about. I'm trying to paint a picture here, and I want to talk about the dangers of one having a hardened heart. It is my pursuit. It is my priority for every single thing that I say in this pulpit to be backed by the Word of God. And we also need the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to rightfully discern the Word of God. Sometimes we have to put one plus one plus another one in order for us to get that number three that we're looking for. And the Lord is able to do that 100%. All it takes is meekness, willingness, humbleness, prayer, dedication, love. All these things are the common recipe for the Lord to come and have fellowship with you and impart His word with you. But back to tonight's subject is the danger of a hardened heart. And I want to elaborate on a couple of things in reference to that. For my opening verse this evening, I want to bring to your attention Hebrews chapter 3. And we are going to cover verses 12 through 15. And the Word of God says this. All right. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, I want to back up just a little bit here. Because in the opening verse here in verse 12, the word unbelief is described as an evil heart. And ultimately, this is what I'm trying to shy people away from, is having this evil heart of unbelief. And verses 13 says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And this is something else here. But moving forward to 14. "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion." This is my opening verse here for this evening. There's a lot to extract from the words that we just finished reading right now, from the set of verses that we just read. And the first thing that I want to bring to your attention right now is that a hardened heart, an unbelieving heart, is considered in the eyes of God as something evil. Many suffer, for example, of a disease that I can barely pronounce the name, but I'm going to give it a try. The name of the disease is arteriosclerosis. Yes, I think I got it. First time, nailed it. Yes, I practiced that. Arteriosclerosis, which is a serious health condition where the arteries lose their elasticity and become hardened. That's what that is. And as a result, blood circulation becomes impaired and the person is in danger of most commonly a heart attack or stroke. Now, why am I sharing this with you, this disease with you? Because even worser than arteriosclerosis, even worse than that word, is a hardened heart. Even worse than that. You can say, "Wow, Pastor, I didn't know that there could be something worse than a stroke, than a heart attack." Well, now you know. A hardened heart. Such a spiritual illness can lead one to eternal death. That's why it's worse. And this is no new problem, you know. This is not just something that just came about in the New Testament or just came about in today's day and age. This has been going around for a long, long time. And you want to know somebody who suffered from a hardened heart? Very popular man. He goes by the name of Pharaoh. Pharaoh suffered from this spiritual disease called a hardened heart. Let's read Exodus 8:15. It says this, "But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them, as the Lord had elaborated on, as the Lord had said." as the Word of God says. The Lord said he's going to harden his heart. Yes, he is. Now, potentially you might ask, how was Pharaoh's heart hardened? Because God does not harden anyone's heart. Okay? But yet you might say this, because you read the Bible just like I read the Bible. Potentially you might say this, Pastor, 4 times the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Maybe you might say that. They come in Exodus 4:21, Exodus 7:3, Exodus 9:12, and Exodus 10:1. They all say that. And furthermore, 3 times the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart on his own. So you have both, right? If in case you want to go back and look it up, they are in Exodus 8:15, Exodus 32, and Exodus 9:34. These scriptures mention that Pharaoh, on his own accord, hardened his heart. So now by now you might be thinking, well, Pastor, is this a contradiction? And in order for us to understand this much better, so there is no confusion between the two, we must understand one thing. And that one thing is that God is no respecter of person. He is not. He treats all of us the same. He loves every single one of us equally. And he judges us equally. Now, us pastors and teachers, we are held at a different regard. Why? Because we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to guide the flock that the Lord has placed in our hands. We have the responsibility to take care of the sheep, to feed them, to take care of them, and to follow God's commandments. We are ultimately responsible for all the souls that are placed in our hands. And we must take this office extremely serious. But nonetheless, the Lord does not love me more than he loves you. So we have to understand that. Let me bring to your attention right now, Acts chapter 10, 34 and 35. And it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him.'" This includes Egypt. This includes Israel. This includes the United States. This includes Brazil. This includes China. You name it. The Lord loves every single one of us the same. And if we obey his commandments, if we heed to his word, there are so many things to follow. We have blessings. We have good things coming our way. We have the goodness of God, his righteousness. And in addition to God not having any respect of person, man has a choice. And man always has a choice to choose right from wrong. Man has the free will in whom he will believe, in what he will set his faith on. Will it be on the things that he sees and touches? Or is it going to be by faith and believe what is unseen? Man has the choice. A common verse, a popular verse, comes from the book of Joshua. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This is a choice that Joshua made. And as a result, Joshua was a blessed man. He just about succeeded in every single thing that he did. Why? Because the Lord promised him that he would. If you follow my commandments, if you follow my decree, if you love and obey me, you shall be blessed and you will find success in all that you do. War, peace, everything else in between. You will be a successful man. But first, Joshua had to make that decision within his own. The Lord didn't make him do it. You know, the Lord didn't come and changed his heart, made him a changed man. The Lord didn't come and change his persona. This was a free will of Joshua, doing it wholeheartedly, on his own, and the Lord rewarded his actions. So ultimately, what I'm trying to say is, man has a choice whom he will serve, whom he will believe, whom he will trust. And now, God's demands through the plagues, when we're going back to the case of Pharaoh, caused Pharaoh to harden his heart by his own will. Pharaoh would say no to Moses and Aaron. And the subsequent plague caused him to do two things. It caused him to proudly and stubbornly harden his own heart. And now going back to self, and now dealing back to self, Pharaoh was full of pride. Pride consumed Pharaoh. And to make matters even worse, he was extremely stubborn. Very, very, very stubborn. Two lethal combinations. Pharaoh was responsible for his own choices. And God ultimately held him accountable for all the choices that he made. And he suffered the consequences for that. The very last one is he lost his firstborn son. Oh yeah. He got hit hard. He got hit right at home. Now, the question right now that I present to you is this, if in case you're not thinking about it right now. How can our hearts be hardened, Pastor? Because I want to know. I don't want to have a hardened heart. I don't want to be the blame. I don't want to be my own stumbling block. How can our hearts be hardened? I want you to understand one thing. And before I go into explanation, we must understand that all of us are susceptible to a hardened heart. Every single one of us. So don't think that you are alienated from it. Don't think that you are excluded, that God is going to keep you from having a hardened heart. And this is one of the main reasons why I want to share this teaching with you, and maybe I might even develop it a little bit more. But it's very important for us to understand that we are not barred from having a hardened heart. And you want to know that even the disciples, the men who walked with our Lord Jesus just about day and night, they were with him on the going out and on the coming back in. They saw so many things. And the Bible says that are many, many greater and mighty things that are not in this book, that they witnessed, that never made it to the Bible. But they were with him all the time and seen so many things. And even after witnessing something as miraculous, as mind-boggling, as feeding 5,000 people off of some biscuits and sardines. I mean, we need to call it a spade, right? We need to call it how it is. when you study the passage and you read what the theologians are saying, and you read what some of the people in that era wrote, because they all had to have account for what was happening. More to come about that. That's actually quite fascinating. You read some of the scrolls and you read some of the events in the newspapers from back then, and the people who recorded this event witnessed small fishes. You know, some translation is going to say fish. Other translations are going to say small fish. But even if they caught some lake trouts, even if they caught some big old hunk of tuna, I don't think that's enough to feed 5,000 people regardless. Nope. They would have for sure have to back the truck up, a couple of trucks as a matter of fact. So something so supernatural, I should say. Them witnessing all these things, so many things. The Bible says that the disciples still had a hardened heart. And this is what brought me to say that we are all susceptible. Whew. Man, I'm forcing some of these words out of here this evening. We are all prone to have a hardened heart, as is in the case of the men who walked side by side with the Lord our God. Let me show you that scripture. Mark 6:52. For they had not understood about the loaves because their hearts were hardened. Wow. Look at that. And then you might ask, how is it that somebody can have their hearts hardened when they're like, step by step with the Lord our God? How could it be? And you bring it in today's day and age. Someone can come to church 4 times a week, 5 times a week, and they can hear so many preachings about unforgiveness, and yet they still hold massive grudges for years. You know, you can hear so many teachings and the Word of God, and you back it up by the Word. Look, it says it just like this, just like that, and this is what it means. And you go and you present it to the people, but they still do what they're going to want to do, believe what they want to believe. Why? Because we have free will. And we ultimately choose what we are going to do, as in the case of Pharaoh and what he chose to do and the consequences that he paid for. So ultimately, we are not different as the men that the Lord had with him day and night. The thought seems to be that even after seeing the power of the Lord and the miracle of the loaves, the disciples, they still did not realize that nothing was impossible for him. They still didn't realize it. They shouldn't have been surprised to see him walk on water neither. It was no greater miracle than the one they had just witnessed. Now, this brings back now to something that I have been talking about for the past 2 weeks. The lack of faith. Lack of faith produced hardness of heart and dullness of spiritual perception when it came to this particular situation. The lack of faith. Lack of faith produces a hardened heart. And this is one thing that we must be careful with. You know, we have a faith-based belief. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible. It is absolutely no way, no how, no way, Jose. It's not going to fly. You are not going to please God. You might as well hang it up. Not going to happen. We must have faith. And now you're seeing directly the result of a lack of, endanger somebody of having a hardened heart. And ultimately, the dullness of spiritual perception. You become weak. You don't grasp things. Things don't click. They don't make any sense. And Christians are warned about allowing their hearts to be hardened. Now, bringing it over to today, once again, how is the heart hardened today? I have been talking for the past 2 Sunday mornings about the testing of our faith and how the Lord tests our faith. And what I just talked about this past Sunday morning was by demands. The Lord tests our faith. One of the ways that He tests our faith is through demands. And one way that you can harden your heart is by delaying and or procrastination. And one of the examples that I gave, one of the very last examples that I gave, was in the case of Noah. The Lord gave him a command. You're going to build a massive, gigantic boat. It's going to be like this. It's going to be so big that you're going to be looking like that. And then you got to turn your head and look like that, because it'll go from way over there to over there. You got to turn your body to see the whole grand scheme of things. And not only are you going to build a boat, it's going to be in the middle of the desert. You don't have to go find the nearest ocean to see if it floats. And then you know what's going to happen? Yeah, I know you're in the desert. It's going to rain. Oh, you don't know what rain is? Okay, well, I'll show you. You start building. And that's what happened. And you and I are humans. I am pretty sure that Noah had all these thoughts in the back of his mind, like, okay, let me just swing the hammer. You know, but he obeyed. And he obeyed immediately. It took him some years to build that ark. It took him a long time. But he obeyed. And imagine enduring the ridicule through that whole entire time. So, do you think that Noah, if he had to ponder over it and think about it and try to make sense of things and try to understand and put into perspective, and he tried to make it click, Noah is a reasonable man and he doesn't do unreasonable things, right? Do you think that there might have been a possibility for his heart to be hardened? Do you think that his intellectual mind would have started speaking to him and say, Noah, you are going cuckoo. You're going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. You just about lost your marbles. The Bible says that he obeyed. Another prime example. Notice that when the Lord would give Abraham an instruction, it would be like a period, and then the very next sentence would say, Noah woke up early in the morning. And then it says what he said, what he was set out to do. I always catch that, because as of late, it's been a little bit hard to get up in the morning, you know, for me. I almost like I have a new schedule. You have a new baby, and you got to adapt to the baby and you know, the ups and downs that they go through, and between a couple other things. But I always pick up on that part. Right afterwards, it says, then Noah got up early in the morning, and then he set out to do what he was instructed to do. That's diligence. That's no procrastination. That's on the spot. One way that we can keep our hearts from for being hardened is to avoid procrastination, is to avoid delays. Now, let me give you some examples. In today's day and age, because right now we're talking about today's times, right? I have a couple of them here listed. Distractions, right? How about children? Can children be a distraction to where as though potentially you might procrastinate or you might delay a command of the Lord? How about a spouse? No? Okay. How about entertainment? How about entertainment? Following the same guidelines, how about a hobby? Do you think that entertainment or a hobby could potentially cause you to put some of the God things aside because you need leisure time? Leisure time is important for self, right? Or how about this one? How about work? Pastor, I have long hours. I got to wake up early tomorrow morning, so I cannot come to this evening Bible study. Pastor, I work up until 5 o'clock, so I cannot make it all the way back home and then make it to church by 7. Okay. No problem. Hey, we all have free will. You know, there was a time, oftentimes I refer back, and you've heard me say this many times for those of you who are regulars here, that when I rededicated my life to the Lord, I did it with all of my heart. Man, I did. I said, that's it. I'm going to leave all the old friendships behind. I'm going to start everything anew. All my bad habits are going to be out of the window. And even though I don't have a car, even though I don't have a motorcycle, even though I don't even have a bicycle, I am going to go to the house of God. And it would take me an average of about 2.5 hours from where I was living in the city at the time, all the way out here to the county. I had to catch 2 buses and 1 subway. And I think it was, and if I miss one of the buses, then I have to catch 3 buses, and then the commute would be longer, and then 1 subway. Now, I could have taken the bus all the way here, but if you take the bus to the subway, that's much quicker, and then hop out of the subway and catch another bus up to the very last stop back here, and then walk about 2 miles or so, 2.5 miles. Walk to the church. That was my commitment. This is what I decided in my heart, that is what I am going to do. And I was not going to let that delay, I was not going to have that interfere my moment in the house of God. And the Lord saw my commitment. And shortly after that, He blessed me with a pickup truck that I still have to this day. It's a 1989. It's a Ford. Praise God. It's a 4x4, and it's a stick shift. The Lord knows what I like. And I still have that. I never wanted to get rid of it. Because every single time I look at that truck, even though it's got lots of rust on it, it's a representation of how the Lord honored His word and how He took me out and changed my life around when I personally, in my heart, decided to do things on my own will and come to the house of God and learn and partake of the word. There was no live stream. I think they might have had a podcast, but maybe not. I don't know. This was about 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago. So, faith, having faith in God, Lord, I promise that I'm going to serve you with all of my heart, and I'm going to give you 100%. It takes away all the possibilities of a hardened heart. And hence, all these things that people bring up. I haven't said transportation. I use that as far as my own personal experience. But a lot of times, people do bring up the reasoning to why they cannot do something. Or why is it that they got to wait up until they get this boatload of money, this boat to come in and dock, when their boat of cash comes in order for them to go out and purchase a car, and then they'll be able to be committed and all these things. It's almost like they're doing things backwards. And you know, all these things have the potential to keep us from thinking about eternity. All these things could keep us from thinking about what's beyond this life. And to make sure that I'm okay with God, actually more than okay with God, that I'm all right with Him and I abide with Him constantly. There must be the urgency to making our lives right with God continuously. And this is why the word today, we read this on the opening verse today on Hebrews 3. Today is mentioned three times. Three times. Today. Right now. Not when your boat comes and docks in. Okay? Not when the train full of cash or gold, comes and no, none of that. Not when your suitcase of money arrives. It's today. Today when we make that commitment. And ultimately, the result of some of this is people not loving the truth. Instead of loving the truth, many love excuses. They love the excuses that they make. And sometimes those excuses can turn into lies. And then all of a sudden, you start believing your own lies. And as a result, you get a hardened heart. But we should all know that the Word of God is truth. It says it, John 17, 17. Sanctify them. This is the Lord praying right now. This is our Lord Jesus praying. Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. Praise God. And you know, we must love the truth. We must love the Word of God. We must love everything that comes our way that is aligned with the Word of God. Everything that is in correspondent to His Word, and that's it. If the Lord instructed me to do this, I'm going to do it. If I know that I'm supposed to do this, this, that, and the other thing, I have to do just that in that order because the Lord commanded me to do so. A prime example of this is a very popular verse in Psalms chapter 1. Verses 2 says, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night." Notice there the word, delight. He loves. If you delight on something, I just went out of Costco about a month ago, and I happened to stumble across a box of ice cream Snickers. Praise God. I know I'm not supposed to have it. It's way too much sugar. But man, sometimes, when the daughter is being difficult, I need a Snickers. Keep me from getting hangry. No. But you know that one thing that you delight on, that you feast on, that you love, right? How will you explain to our Lord God how much you loved the truth when in reality, you rarely read His Word. Oof. How could you explain that to the Lord our God one day? The Word of the Lord is true. Another way is by treasuring the world instead of the truth, instead of our Lord Jesus Christ, instead of God the Father, instead of the church that He gave up His life for, the bride. Now, I have a question to ask you. Knowing all the things that you know, that you potentially might know about right and wrong, about what you should do and not do, about what the Word of the Lord says. The Word of the Lord says things like this, 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 and this, and you obey it with diligence so you don't have a hardened heart by faith. My question is, what sin do you potentially think you might still be grasping to? Because a lot of times, certain things in our lives prevent us from going to the next step. And oftentimes, those things create something in your mind called guilt. But whatever the case might be, could it be addictions? Could it be drugs? Could it be cigarettes? Or anything that you might be addicted to? Could it be lying? Could it be gossiping? Could it be pride? These are all problems. These are all known problems. And Christians are not immune to these problems. Christians aren't immune to any of them. In between so many other things that I did not mention. And you want to know something? Footholds. Footholds of the devil create lukewarm Christians. Please understand that. The Bible in Revelations mentions that the Lord said, "You are neither hot nor cold, so I will vomit you out of my mouth." That's not a good thing. These aren't chosen frozen, and these aren't fire and brimstone Christians. They're just right there lukewarm. And the Lord calls them nasty. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Despicable. Away from me. This is what it calls. Footholds from the enemy does create lukewarm Christians. Please keep that in mind. I want to back what I'm saying right now by a verse found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 27. Nor give place to the devil. But I wanted to bring the previous verse so we could understand this verse. Are you able to put it up real quick, verses 26? It's my fault. I placed 27, but I was reading through this verse and I was like, maybe I should also include verses 26 so they could understand the background, but I guess I forgot. But this is what it says. This is something that we all suffer from. We all go through this from time to time. Verses 26 says, be angry, right? Be angry. Sure, go ahead. Knock yourself out. And do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And then the next verse, nor give place to the devil. Nor give place to the enemy. Don't give the enemy a foothold. Don't do it. And this verse is talking to Christians. It's not talking to unbelievers. The grace of God warns us by His instructions, by the Word of God. It does. And this is what it warns us. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Yes, thank you. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That is right now. That is you and I. We're not talking about Pharaoh's time anymore. We're talking about today's Christian. God's grace warns us, and it gives us clear instructions in exactly what to do. But now, my final question for this evening is going to be this. What are the consequences of a hard heart? The very first thing that I'm going to bring to your attention right now is a seared conscience. And we don't ever want to get there. And this is, I think, and this is my opinion, this is how Christians in the church gets from 0 to 100 in about 3 seconds. This is how I believe the inevitable happens, is when someone has been in that state of mind that have had that hardened heart, which the Bible calls it evil, an evil heart, for such a long time that their conscience is ultimately seared. They don't have a conscience anymore. I want to bring to your attention right now 1 Timothy 4:2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Whoa. Mm-mm. These are one of the consequences that one could have from a hardened heart. Another one is impenitence. And potentially you might be asking me, what does impenitence mean? Not feeling shame or regret about one's actions or attitude. That's what it means. If in case you have no problem in having 2, 3, 4 girlfriends or boyfriends, and you don't think anything wrong with it because it's love. Or if you think there's nothing wrong with same-sex marriage because who are we to judge? It's love. Why can't two people love each other? Right? Or there's nothing wrong with what you are doing, you know, I don't feel as though I should be giving tithes or anything extra to the church because the Lord takes care of the church. Oh, the pastor is evil, or the deacons are evil, or they... Impenitence. All of it are consequences of a hardened heart, of a seared conscience. All these things. And these are all things that we must be aware of. Every single one of us. I want to bring to your attention right now a particular verse. Do I have there 2 Peter 2? I do. 2 Peter 2 covering verses 20 through 22. It says this. For if... after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. And verses 21 says, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. And the final verse here says, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb. What is the proverb? A dog returns to his own vomit. And a sow, having washed to her wallowing, in the mire. Lord. Wow. And this is ultimately one thing that we never want to get there. We never want to be on that state of mind to where as though our pride, to where as though our arrogance, to where as though our own self-righteousness, all these things could keep you from being blessed, from developing, from moving to the next stage in grace and glory, oneness of Christ. And God forbid, eternal death, the loss of salvation. God forbid. In a conclusion, you are responsible for your own heart. We are all responsible for our own actions, for our own attitudes, for our own heart. You must allow God to mold and make you into what He wants you to be. And He can do that if we just have an open heart, a sincere heart to the Word of God. The Bible says that the Lord is faithful. God is faithful. And He will send His Holy Spirit to open your mind, to speak to you, just as long as you don't have a hardened heart. As a closing verse for this evening, I want to bring to your attention Philippians 2, 12 and 13. And it says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure." And this is what we want God to do in every single one of us. But you know what's going to take. You know what's going to be required. And all I have to say is do it. And do it today. Do it right now. Do it before it's too late. No procrastination. No delay. Do it right away while today is still today. While you still have time. Nothing is guaranteed tomorrow. Some of us might not wake up tomorrow. Where are we going to wake up to? Think about it. Don't wait to the very last minute. Don't procrastinate. Praise God. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we love You. We love You, Lord, so much. And we will always love You for as long as we live. And I pray, Lord, that we will guard our hearts against all evil, against false teachings, against other people, Lord, that potentially might want to bring gossip in our ears and tell lies, and people, Lord, who might have already a seared conscience. Lord Jesus, I pray that You can help us, Lord, through our walk. And Lord, may we all be humble and thirsty for the knowledge of the Lord. For You, Lord, help us to not develop, Lord, a hardened heart. We don't want to be, Lord, like the proverb where it says that the dog returns to its vomit. We want, Lord, the true manna, the true Word of God. And may we be open, Lord, to all that the Holy Spirit is imparting on us. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. May we always, Lord, abide in you. We love you, Lord, and we worship you. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen.